Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Hello, listeners. This is Jeannie St. John Taylor. Unfortunately, Maxine is not with us today. We've kind of missed each other the last 3 or 4 weeks. Either she takes it or I takes it. Seems like something comes up, and today she's gone. So we're going to miss her, but she's gone. Hope you're having a good time this Memorial Day. Coughing spill, that's what we need. We have a guest today that I hope and believe is going to really help a lot of you out there. Her name is Donna Heltzer, and she speaks for Stonecroft Ministries Retreats, and she leads Women's Connection Group. She's the founder of Jericho Girls, a program designed to help women recognize and dismantle the obstacles that keep them locked up and unable to do relationships effectively. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, and she presently owns her own real estate firm, so she's multidimensional here, ladies, in Denver, and she's married to her high school sweetheart. You can check her out at www.donnahetzler.com. Donna, welcome.
Thank you, Jeannie, so much for having me on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, if I can stop coughing, maybe we can...
I know, I heard that, you poor thing.
This. I know. Feel sorry for me. So, Donna, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Do you have children?
Well, I kind of have children. I'm a mom to 2 rescue Siberian Huskies, if that counts.
Oh, you do. You do, yes.
Yes. Yes, and they're in the process of blowing out their coats right now, so my house is full of fur, which is exciting.
I love Siberian Huskies. Are they mostly white, or do they have markings? Or
mostly markings, black and gray and white, and the bright blue eyes that Huskies are known for.
Does that affect their health in any way, the bright blue eyes? Because we had an Australian Shepherd with blue eyes, and she was kind of deaf and kind of blind, but she was great.
You know, they are more prone to cataracts because of the pigment of their eyes. Yes,
yeah.
But so far so good with our young pups and having a lot of fun with them.
Well, I love your dogs, but I think we need to start talking about your book. I'm really excited about this book, Walls of a Warrior, Conquering the Fears of Our Hearts. You know, have you had fears, Donna?
None at all.
Yeah, me either. I'm perfect.
No fears whatsoever. Actually, when I started this whole project and really felt God speaking to me about writing and sharing my heart's fears with the whole world, I was fearful of that alone. And I thought, you know, I'm pretty transparent. I can do this. And it was very, very difficult. And then what I found in the journey was that I had some fears, and I was kind of keeping people at bay in some areas of my heart. And so it was a great, great discovery that God showed me, and he pushed me out of my comfort zone. He does that, doesn't he, from time to time?
Oh, he does.
He pushes us out.
How did you get started on that journey of figuring out that you had the fears and the walls?
Well, it started with a conversation with some dear friends that I do life with, and we are part of a Bible study that has been ongoing for 10-plus years now. And so we felt like we were very transparent with each other. We were doing life together. And then one of the women said that we have walls. And I said, walls? What are you talking about? So, you know, we're doing life together here. We don't have walls. And so we started exploring the idea of having walls and what do they look like, and if they do exist, do we have walls with God too? And so we started meeting once a month, and we met for a whole year, and my journals became pages of the book. And what we found was, indeed, we all have walls, and any wall that we might have, it is based in fear. And so we fear things, and we construct a wall around our heart in hopes that we're going to protect it. But it does just the opposite. It actually isolates us.
Do you think that every wall, every single wall, is erected because of fear? Are there any exceptions?
I do. Okay. Well, I mean, we've all been hurt. We've had disappointments.
Right.
We can become
and
bitter
that all
and
goes
resentful.
Back to fear.
Mm-hmm. It all circles back, though, to fear.
Yeah.
And so in my book, Walls of a Warrior, I break it down with all those different things, walls of hurt, walls of esteem, masks that we put on. Masks sometimes will afford us to come out from behind our walls, but we're still hiding behind something. And so we go through all the different walls that we experienced in that year, and there's many more that we put up.
Yeah. I have a picture book that's entitled You Wouldn't Love Me If You Knew. As a matter of fact, Bravo TV made a joke about it. They asked celebrity, I heard this, I haven't seen it, somebody told me, they asked celebrity contestants on a game show if they thought there was really a book by that title, and I don't know what the outcome was, but then they held up my cover, which I was real happy for. But a lot of times, I know that when that book is on sale, adults go up to that book and they start reading it and tears start rolling down their faces.
Yes.
So do you think this is common, that we think people won't love us if they really know us?
Oh, Jeannie, it's so true. And I think that's one of the top human needs, is we all want to know that we're loved and we're lovable, and not just by others, but we want to know that we're loved by God and that our life has some significance. So I so agree that we all have that inner need to be known and seen and especially loved. So you're right on with that.
Yeah. You know, you have two chapters here. One says getting real with God, and the other says getting real with others. What order should those go in, and which is easier? And which is more important?
Dude,
that's
all
about
great
four
questions. Yes, no kidding. Well, I believe that getting real with God is essential first. And I think it's first and foremost in importance, because if we can't be real with God, then we simply cannot be real with others. We can't take that next step. So we really do have to be real with God. And there was many moments during this journey that I was pretty real with him in expressing my fear about writing the book, my other fears that I talk about in the book, and one of them is the fear of not being able to do it all myself. I try and do everything on my own. And what I found through my journey was that, hey, Donna dear, you need others in life to help you. And so definitely getting real with others was most important. And then we could jump into the next area of getting real with others. And interestingly enough, in our meetings, this particular meeting, the least amount of women showed up because, okay, maybe we can get real with God and talk in our private time, but when we're put in a room with other human beings and discussing these things right here and right now, it's pretty darn real. And so our attendance dropped out that week. So it was an interesting discussion.
Amazing.
The
Amazing.
Following meeting, you know, why did we not come last month? Because this is what,
were they real
this
about
is what
it?
It's all about. Right.
Did they explain why? I mean, were they honest about why they didn't come? Because they were scared?
They were all honest. They said it scared the heck
good.
Out of me.
Yeah.
I was fearful. I was fearful and I chickened
good.
Out.
That's good.
And so we said,
that's
fair
good.
Enough. But then we did talk about some of those fears and kind of revamped on getting real with others. So they kind of had to, all of us, not just they, but me as well, we had to, you know, discuss it at that time. So it was interesting.
You didn't let them get away with it, huh?
No. No,
good
especially
girl.
Since I was there and I had to discuss getting real with others. So I thought, oh, no, you're not getting out of this one for sure.
You know what I find about myself? I find that when anybody points out a flaw or, you know, the drill, my first response is to get defensive. Is
sure.
that one of those walls? I want to say, no, that's not true. And, I mean, it's just my always my first response. I have to pray not to do that.
Yes, it tends to be all of ours, mine especially. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes from someone who's super close to you too,
right.
you definitely, because you know that they know you and you know that they're probably right about whatever they're saying. And so you don't want to face those things. And so I have that reaction as well.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned through this is the power of listening to others. And a lot of the times we don't have to fix or tell others what is wrong with them. They typically already know, but if we can pull out questions, Jesus did that so much, and he did it so beautifully. You know, for example, the woman at the well, he drew out questions and had her see her error without pointing a finger at her, and I love that. I so try and practice that. And so what we did in our listening groups is we could not talk while the person talking, we just had to sit there and listen. And it was a beautiful time because a lot of the times it just holds up a mirror and that person can see, they can hear themselves, and then there's healing in that being heard. And so they kind of discover what the answer is without somebody telling them. And that's the beauty of really being heard. And I'm guilty of it. I like to fix.
Yeah.
We all do. We don't want to see our loved ones hurt or going through a difficult situation. But so many times just listening deeply to somebody else without a word and maybe praying to God at the same time, he might have a word for that person, but he might not. He might not want us to fix either.
Right. You know, I have one friend that I can tell all my ugliness to. I can tell her the worst thoughts, the angry thoughts, the resentful thoughts. I can share every bit of that with her. She's the only person other than God that I can do that. Mm. And she accepts me, and she understands me, and she doesn't say, oh, no, you wouldn't think that, or you wouldn't do that. She says,
sure.
Okay, well, you know, it's okay. And we talk about it. And how important is it? We know that God accepts us. How important is it to have a person in our lives that we think accepts us?
Absolutely vital, Jeannie. And I'm so glad to hear that you have a person like that, because in my book I write about my dear friend that I've known since I was 15 years old, and I call her Buddy. To this day I call her Buddy. And it's the same relationship as you're describing. It's she knows my dark, ugliest secret. She knows everything about me. And the only person other than her is God. And I can go to her at any time. She won't judge me. And she's my go-to person. But I can't wear her out, so I need others like that in my life. And so I have to work on building relationships with other women as well, because women really need other women, because what I've found in my Bible study group and the gals that I'm doing life with, they point me to Jesus more than anybody else.
Right.
And so it's important to develop these, just to not have one buddy. If something happened to my one buddy, I would just, I don't know what I would do. So I'm working on relationships with other women who are pointing me to Jesus, who I can be more transparent with. But it takes time, as you know, and building that relationship. And gosh, it's been over 20 years that I've been friends with Buddy. So hard to come by. We can't just trust our hearts with anybody. But as we grow closer in women relationships together, walking together through life, it's just vital to have them.
Can you kind of suggest to our listeners how to develop those relationships? I think I learned that once from somebody that later became my friend, when she just said, I need a friend. Will you be my friend?
Mm.
And I said,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have suggestions? Because don't you think a lot of people just don't know how to do this? And then
this is
don't
so
know
true.
Who to trust?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I just wrote a blog about it, too. It's how do we find the Pauls in our church? It's so tough because so many, we need older women in our lives as mentors. And there's such a dichotomy in our country about older women and just the elderly in general, not having worth. And so we need to seek out those Pauls of the church, the women who have wisdom, who can guide us and teach us from their life experience. And so really it comes down to us and us seeking out these women because they're hard to find. And even all the more important to be the Pauls of the church too, to reach out to the younger generation and be able to mentor a younger woman as well as you're going through life. And I think if you can do both, you'll really start to develop those relationships and grow and learn from each other, both the older generation and the younger. But it certainly is a difficult task to do.
It's not easy. We all feel so isolated. And what's that proverb that says that a recluse lacks all forms of sense? What is that? I can't remember the quote, but that's what it says, basically.
Yes.
Let's talk about walls of esteem. We talked about walls of hurt. Can we talk about walls of esteem?
Sure, absolutely. It's so important to have the correct esteem. And I think with the way we are bombarded by the media, we can have good and bad experiences with the media, but we are bombarded with so many lies every single day. What the world tells us we should look like, we should weigh a certain weight, we should wear certain things. We're bombarded by airbrushed beauty, and it just weighs on us, especially our younger generation. Our young women today are dealing with much more difficult things than I did growing up. And so it's really important to have a good, healthy esteem, knowing who you are on the inside. I do have a chapter about who am I, and knowing that the things that we do don't necessarily make up who we are. Who we are is what we love on the inside, what makes us tick, and then having the proper esteem, knowing that who we are in Christ is what is vital. So knowing God and living out our unique God-ordained purpose is the main calling for our lives, and it defines who we truly are. And when we know that, then we have a healthy esteem for sure.
What about walls of masks? That's
another big one.
Oh, and then sister, we're talking with Donna Hetzler, who's the author of Walls of a Warrior. Okay. Walls of masks, Donna, let's go there.
The walls of masks, we all talked about wearing a mask, and sometimes we'll come out from our walls, but we'll still put on pretenses because we're still afraid that if someone sees our true self, as we talked about, we wouldn't be lovable, we wouldn't be acceptable. And so we'll put on these pretenses and kind of go through life thinking, okay, I'm not hiding behind a wall, but I'm still hiding behind something. And so we cannot just share our hearts with anybody. It needs to be in a trusted relationship. But wearing those masks, a lot of the times you miss the opportunity of what God is showing you when you wear a mask. And for example, in my chapter, Wall of Masks, I talk about two older women who are at a women's conference. And they started chatting, and woman one had said, I have the most wonderful daughter-in-law. We just have this great relationship. And woman two had said, I so envy you. I don't have that relationship. And so what happened was that woman one, who had the perfect relationship with her daughter-in-law, did not share with the other woman that she also had struggles with her other daughter-in-law. And she wore that pretense, that mask. And what I had said later to her was, you missed a great opportunity to share the love of Jesus with her, to connect with another woman in such a profound way, because she didn't want someone to know of her troubles with her other daughter-in-law. And so it's easier to judge this woman because we've all done it. We've all done it, and it's tough. But she missed what the Father was up to that day. She could have connected in such a way and potentially helped this other woman who had the same struggles as her. And so we miss that connection. We miss what God's calling us to do when we wear those masks and put up those pretenses.
Do you think that mask, that particular one, was protecting her daughter-in-law or protecting herself?
I know this woman very well, and she was protecting herself. But okay. I have to say, I'm not being harsh on her. I love her dearly. Mm-hmm. But when we try to protect ourselves, sometimes we miss what God would have us do. He wants us to share when he pushes us to share. And so I really do believe it was to protect her own self-image.
Yeah. Do you think there's a place for putting a mask on to protect another person?
Well, I don't think a mask, but...
I was going to say, that might be a bad way to say it, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's a mask. However,
right.
if you are protecting someone, you can be honest and say, you know what, that is somebody else's story, and that's not my story to share. That's how you create trusted relationships, is not talking or sharing. And sometimes we do this even in prayer. I mean, as innocent in prayer, we can be in a group of women and say, oh, we need to pray for so-and-so because she's having this problem. Well, that's not your story to share unless that person has agreed for you to share that story. So I think being honest about, you know what, I'm not comfortable talking about this, or that's that person's story, I think you're going to get a lot of respect from the other person when you don't share someone else's story or talk about them.
Yeah. You have a chapter called Stop, Drop, and Listen. You want to explain that to us? That's a cute title. I like it.
Well, it did start with our listening groups, and I think I touched on that just a little bit. But basically what we did is we got in pairs, and we had listening time. And so we'd have one person talk, the other person would listen. And we had about 10 minutes, which is a short time to be in a listening group. But this, I found, was the most difficult for me to do, is this listening group. I am a talker. I have an Italian heritage, and so I like to talk a lot. But as I mentioned, I am also a fixer, and so I'm ready to have an answer. You just give me your problem, and, you know, Dr. Donna will help you here, and then we'll figure it out. And what I learned during this listening time, first of all, it was very difficult because all I could do was smile, nod my head, agree, or, you know, and then make little notes if need be. But during this time of listening, I was also praying that the Holy Spirit would give me the words, if there was a word. Sometimes there's not a word. Sometimes God wants somebody to go through a problem to come out stronger the other side. Sometimes there's not a fixed answer right away.
Yeah.
And so what I found was it was very difficult to listen, even though I thought I was a good listener. And when the tables were turned and it was time for me to share what was on my heart, I had shared about my big workload and how I was totally exhausted. And every time I shared that with somebody, they would always say, well, sister, you got to quit taking on so much and you've got to do this. And I thought that that would be the response. And I was so tired of hearing someone tell me, I've got to quit taking things on. I know that. But I'm also, that's kind of how I tick. I'm a leader. I run with things. And I need to find balance. So I know that about myself, and I was so tired of hearing it. And this person asked me two questions at the end of my time. She said to me, what do you hear God calling you to do? Mm-hmm. And she said, secondly, are you willing to do that? She did not have an answer. She didn't say, sister, quit doing this. She asked me two questions, and it so reminded me of Jesus and how he drew out these questions in people, and then they knew what they needed to do. And it's powerful when you really listen. I would encourage your whole audience to try this in your next conversation. Just listen. Don't fix. And if God puts some questions on your heart, then share them. And if not, just say, I'm here for you. I'll walk with you through this. And that's sometimes the best advice we can give.
You know, that I think that would be really hard for me, too. I have a personality much like yours, I think, Donna.
I knew I liked you.
Well, I should tell you how to just be quiet, maybe, huh?
There you go.
You tell me how, before we go, you have a chapter called Healthy Walls, and I kind of want you to talk, what kind of walls are healthy? How do you develop those walls and not isolationist walls?
Right, because isolation separates us from others, and actually isolation causes us to see different spiritually, and we don't get the right goggles on. So isolation is not how God created us. He wants us to have healthy walls, and so I like to refer to them as the shield of our hearts, the shield of Christ. And some of the things that we can do to be healthy is to love ourselves and esteem ourselves, like we discussed. Forgiveness is a big one, because when we don't forgive, we become bitter and we become resentful. And those are things that can shrink our hearts and keep others at bay. And then self-forgiveness is a big one. You can probably identify, women are so hard on ourselves. We all do this. We beat ourselves up
for the
simplest little thing. It is. We wrestle with it, and we just can't let it go. And so, you know, if you did offend somebody, call them, ask for forgiveness, reconnect with that person, and move on in the relationship. A word said can just drive us crazy. And maybe it's something you did against God, and so you need to take it to Him. And so many of us take it to God and say, I believe I'm forgiven. But then we don't forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're telling God that His forgiveness is not great enough. So those are some of the things we can do. We can also write promises on our hearts, just like you were talking about Proverbs. We can write scriptures on our hearts. And when we need them, we can call on them. For example, my husband road races, and I've seen him crash at very high speeds. And at those times when I'm uncertain as to what's going on, or maybe he's not moving on the racetrack, which is extremely terrifying, I can go from a place. Oh, it's just absolutely terrifying. There's no words for it. And I can go from a place of terrified to peaceful, because I start calling on God's scriptures. I say, all the days ordained for my David were written in your book before one of them came to be. Lord, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. But I always choose you, and I know you've got the perfect plan. And so as I confess those promises that I've known and written on my heart, they change my feelings, and they give me the peace that only God can give. And so it's so important to have these healthy walls that guard our hearts in a healthy way, like Christ designed us.
Listeners, we have been talking with Donna Hetzler, author of Walls of a Warrior, Conquering the Fears of Our Heart. Donna, it has been delightful. Would you like to tell the listeners how they can find you one more time?
Yes, certainly. You can get my book, Walls of a Warrior, at Barnes & Noble, Tattered Cover, Mardell Christian Bookstore, on Amazon, or you can go to my website, wallsofawarrior.com. I'll give you that one because my name's too hard to spell. And I just want to encourage all of you listening that too many of us lose our hearts in the race of life. So I encourage you to not lose heart, to not be afraid or discouraged, but go in and take the city of your heart and live fearlessly for God.
Thank you so much, Donna. Listeners, I'll see you next week.
Thank
Maggie's
you.
Maggie's going to be disappointed she missed you.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.